But I thank the Lord for this day, for another day you should be thankful to. You know, they're leaving here by the droves, and they don't have to be old and grown adults. They're burying them from 100 to 30 to 10, the newborn. And if you're still here, it's because the Lord has graciously allowed these years and this time for you. So we want to use it to His glory. We want to redeem the time. And we want to glorify Him. He gets the glory and we get the joy. Father, we thank you this morning for another day to glorify you. Lord, if you're not glorified, then all is wasted. So we pray, Lord, that you'll help us and touch us that we might continually point the glory to you. We won't try and take credit for anything, because who are we? And what do we have but what we receive from you? And so thank you for your wonderful grace on our lives, for leading us to this place to receive this special word this morning. Not everyone can hear these words, but Lord, we believe that you have chosen us to hear these particular messages as we speak this morning about the life of servanthood. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible has a great deal to say about servanthood, because the central theme of the Bible is the servant of all, and His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." And when He said, "I came not to be ministered to," He was saying, "I came not to be served." But He's saying, "I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." You know what a ransom is? It's an amount paid for someone that's been kidnapped or taken against their will, and will only be returned if a certain amount is paid. And they call that, in kidnapping terms, a ransom. And so it's almost like He's saying that mankind was kidnapped in the garden, and I came to give my life as a ransom for many. When we give Jesus Christ His rightful place as Lord of our lives, His lordship will be expressed in us in the way that we serve others. That's how it's expressed. It's through service. We read in Mark 9:15, it says, "And He sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, If any man desires to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all." So be careful with the prideful competition in the body of Christ, because Jesus interprets it in reverse. You want to be first? That means get in the back of the line. I mean, not line, but you know what He's saying. You'll be last, and you'll be servant of all, in other words. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Now, when we see the word minister in the Bible, I think we might have kind of over defined it or missed the real meaning of it. But to minister means to serve. Joshua ministered to Moses. Well, it's not Joshua didn't take the Ten Commandments and read them to Moses and made sure he understood the Ten Commandments. Joshua washed Moses' feet. He got water for Moses. He cooked his food. He took care of him. He made sure Moses had what he had in place so that Moses could do the will of God. When Jesus, yes, he was. He was a big backup, as a matter of fact. When Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, who was sick of a fever, the Bible says immediately she got up and she began to minister to them. Well, she didn't get up and preach and teach to Jesus. What did she have to say to Jesus? He's the one that's the word. He came and brought the word. She got up and she waited on them. She took care of them. She brought them water or food, or she cooked for them, or she baked bread. She ministered to them. And so when you see the word minister, as you read the scriptures, a minister or a ministry, think serve. Think serve. Because that's what it's about. It's serving. It's, you know, we used to sort of take it and elevate minister to such a high level, until it loses all of its importance and all of its meaning among us. And folks, they want to serve the minister. And we appreciate that. But we got to remember that it's about serving others. And so we put this in proper perspective as ministers. And it says here in 1 Peter that we should minister to one another. That's the good news there. We should minister to one another, and we should minister by the grace of God and according to the grace of God that's been given us. How can we demonstrate God's love? Our love for God will be expressed in our love for others. That's how you show his love. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So what's important to God should be important to us. Jesus said in John 15, 12, 13, he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Just as I have loved you, he says, love one another. Then he goes on, he says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now that's where we put a stop in it right there. We say, now wait a second. Lay down my life for my friends? That's what he said. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Like I have. And he says, there's no greater love than if a man lay down his life for his friends. You say, you mean I gotta go and die? You do. But it's a different kind of die. Anybody can die. Dying don't take too much. I almost died about a month ago. Felt like I was gonna die. It doesn't take that much to die, but dying to self, now that's a lot of work. Stay alive and die to self. Now you got your hands full right there. Because no man has hated his own flesh, the Bible says. And so we count ourselves very important to ourselves. You gotta have some of self-importance. You gotta love yourself in some way, because you love your neighbor as yourself. See, so you gotta have a love for yourself, but it has to be in the proper perspective when it comes to ministry. And so you hurt my feelings when you do something like that. I need to slow up a little bit and try to understand your point of view, rather than come back at you and say, hey, look here, man, I'm gonna get you straight about this. And this gonna be last time we have this discussion here. You see, I need to try to slow it up. Now listen, it's not easy. I know that. It's a quick reaction. But you know, we need to hear this though. You have to keep hearing this over and over and over again until we get it. Continue to hear it. To hear it is to understand it. To hear it is to get it. And so we have to continue hearing this and then practicing it. And practice makes what? Okay, y'all say, then it says, well, wait a minute, no one's perfect. So y'all should stop doing that. You know what it means. The more you do something, the better you get at it. That's what that means. You know, folks always go, well, I don't know if I can practice it because nobody's perfect. That means you don't want to practice it. Okay, let's just break it down. I just don't want to do it. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now. We're very skillful liars. Very skillful liars. We're so skillful we can lie to ourselves. Don't even realize that we're doing. Don't even realize we're lying. And get mad too when somebody try to call us on it. Get an attitude and act the fool and stop speaking to them and everything. Change the phone number and all this. But so, you know, I'm trying to just kind of break this down in the sense of when it comes to servanthood. We have to give up our rights for one another. Now, All of us have to be in this same attitude to be comfortable doing this. Because some folks are still trying to get theirs. Come on now. Some folks are still trying to get theirs. And so if I see you acting like that, it's going to be real hard for me to, so you're just trying to, you know what I mean? You're just here for the bread. You know? But if we can all get in that, and the Bible says we should all be of the same mind, one towards another. So we got to work this thing, work this out, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. 2 Corinthians 4:5 says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." So we're not preaching about us, we're preaching about Him. And we're simply your servant for the sake of Jesus. True leadership is servanthood. And the greatest leader of all times is Jesus Christ. Servanthood is an attitude that's exemplified by Christ. So, you know, you don't have to know everything or remember everything Jesus said and get every sequence of every event in proper order. But you can sit and think about some of the things that Jesus did. You can sit and think about, while he was at this wedding, he turned water to wine. Well, he didn't have to do that. But these people were in trouble, especially the person that was sponsoring the wedding. He was about to get embarrassed in his community, possibly sued by the bride's family for embarrassment to them. And so Jesus turned water into wine and saved them all of that trouble. He walked up to a man at the pool of Siloam and said, "Would you be made whole?" He said, "Well, how can I? As soon as the water's troubled, somebody steps down in front of me." And Jesus says, "Rise, take up your bed, and go home." He took up his bed and started walking. They got mad at the man carrying his bed. They said, "Jesus told me to do this." So they want to get, he served that man. He didn't come to the pool and said, "Everyone, listen up. I am Messiah. I am Jesus. I was once the..." He didn't do that. He went to that little man, and he made him whole, and he served him. And another thing about Jesus is that he doesn't go to the big high officials. At the wedding of Cana, he went to the servants that were there, and he said, "Build a water pot." The servants. The ones that are servants. We're talking about servanthood. He spoke to the servants. He didn't speak to the governor of the feast. He didn't tell the groom what was going on. He said, "Fill the water pot. Fill them full." And then when they filled them, he said, "Now draw out and take to the governor." And when he took it to the governor, the man said, "Man, this, y'all usually, you're supposed to take this, the first part, and then give them the rot gut." This is what he's saying. "The bad wine at the end. But you saved the best for last." They didn't explain to him what was going on, but the servants knew. And so you can imagine there was a buzz going around about with the servants. "Do you know what happened? You know, you gotta be..." "No, it was water. Y'all saw us. Y'all helped dip it. It was water. But listen, I knew, cause I took the water and set it down. I filled it up. And he didn't touch it. He didn't come near. There was nothing to go into it. But he says, now, take the same water and dip it out and take it." When he dipped it out, I don't know if it happened there or on the way there or what, but I know that it turned to wine. The servants knew what God was doing. So servanthood, very important for us, because we can know, and he will speak to us and he will tell us things that he won't tell the high muckety muck. The high up in the sky. You can't get to them because they're so full of pride. They won't listen to nobody but themselves. They don't care about what you got to say. And when you, Olive, will go and try and minister to one of these guys downtown, they're going to have you taken out by security. "Security, this man needs to get out of here." He said, "Man, I got the best message you'll ever hear in your life. This is not on the city's agenda. But this is on God's agenda. Jesus Christ makes you whole. Get him out of here. He's crazy." He said, "I came to serve you, man." That's the life of servanthood. In 2 Philippians, in Philippians 2:6-8, starting in verse 5, I'll start in verse 5, says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let, that means allow. That is give in to. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Amazing. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count his equality with God to be a thing to be grasped. But what did he do? He emptied himself and he took on him the form of a servant. I say, in other words, you need to think this way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He made himself of no reputation. He was God. He was with God. He was God and was with God. He took that. He made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a servant. From God to servant. Jesus is the one. The Bible says of him, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made by him. Yet, he washed the disciples' feet. How much lower do you need to go as a servant than to wash a man's feet? John said of Jesus, he said, I'm not even worthy to unlatch the latchet on his shoe, which was the servant's job, to help take the master's shoe off. But not only had he went past the shoe, he was washing their feet. That kind of mind. I know we're talking symbolically here, but at the same time, if there's a need and you know it, and you can help with it, by all means, do it. And it's not always money. But with it, things that so much emphasis has been put on money, 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 until the real meaning of giving has been totally lost. Completely gone. My first church, I didn't have the money to put in an offering, but I gave of myself, which was not enough. I also had to give the tithe. I also had to give the brotherhood fee. I also had to give the choir fee and all of this. And then I had to pay the doctor because the wife was pregnant, and I had a choice to make. Do I pay for my wife, or do I pay God, like they say? You don't pay God, you're robbing God. Here we go. All right, God, I want your money. You gonna rob him? You got to be out of your mind. Anyway, I won't go no further down that road, because I'm about over it. You know, that was back in 1980. I have got a healthy attitude about that, the way that's happened. I really have a healthy attitude about it. I really do. I got that bad, so y'all pray for me. Because, folks, you make an agreement. You get a television, and you tell this person, give me the television, I'll pay you $50 per month until it's paid off. You get saved, and they say, you shouldn't pay nothing until you pay God first. What about your word to that man? What about your word to that man? And then you're going to have the nerve to go and try to witness to this man. Say, you know what, I want to tell you about Jesus. He said, you got to tell me nothing but where's my $50. You know? Well, I paid God. Okay, so let me get this straight. You gave my money to God and you want me to come to hear about your God? He told you to do this? I don't want anything to do with him. Come on now. I'm not destroying the tithe. It's a good thing. It is. It works. But come on now. Okay, anyway. Service. I have to be careful with that because that's bigger than all of us, that particular subject. The five words in the New Testament translated ministry generally refer to service. A service that's given in love. Service that's given in love. Serving others is the essence of ministry. Like I'm serving you now, just by bringing this word to you. I'm not the big guy here. I'm the servant. In God's sight, I'm the servant. And I know I don't look much like a servant, but I am. You see? And so I'm serving you. And it's servanthood. We should serve one another in love. It's the essence of ministry. All believers are called to ministry. Therefore, we are all called to be servants to the glory of God. All believers. In Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came and he spake to them saying this, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That's a wonderful promise. But he says, go and teach, go and share, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And he says, I'm with you always, always. Even, he said, to the end of the world. Saints, living is given. Living is given. All else is selfishness, pretty much boredom. If you're just getting, it's just selfish and boredom. Here's a quote by the late United States American Army General. His name was Bruce C. Clark, who served in World War I. World War II, and the Korean War. He made this quote. He says, rank is given to you to enable you to better serve those above and below you. It is not given for you to practice your idiosyncrasy. That's loaded. Whether you're a Christian or not, that's loaded. Because, boy, it's not hard to find a preacher that say, now, hey, I'm the one in charge of that. Don't get me wrong. I'll put you out. I'll excommunicate you. You know, he's got the wrong idea. This is God's church. Jesus Christ is the head of his church. In other words, this same quote that he said, to say it another way, rank or status is not given to you to lord it over others, but to serve them. How do you serve those above you? How do you serve those beneath you? He was an army general. But I think it was a good, very good quote. We serve others by serving Christ. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You do it heartily as unto the Lord. And not unto men. Well, you're going to be serving men, but do it like you're doing it to the Lord. Do your job as though you're doing your job for the Lord. You might not care much for your boss, but do it as though you're doing it for the Lord. And God will bless you for doing it in that way. You're working for Him, and not for wherever you work. You're there to glorify Him. And if after a while they say, boy, we dog Angela, we dog her. And we put her down and we give her this junk of work and everything, and she keeps smiling and doing a better job than anyone else here. What in the world is that about? Someone says, you know, she's a Christian, right? Really? Yeah. That's the only thing I know. Is that she's a Christian. That's a witness. And that glorifies the Lord right there. God the Father has served us by sacrificing Jesus Christ. Even God served us by sacrificing His Son Jesus on the cross for our sins. And we should serve others by giving the gospel, and our lives to them. There's nothing that's more valuable than giving the gospel and our lives. You give your life in so many ways. You give of yourself, you give of your substance. The Bible says if you see a brother that have a need, and you close up your bowels of compassion for him, how are you going to say that the love of God lives in you? How are you going to say that? Person say, if I had $20, you know you got $20 in your pocket. $20, and you pack your pocket. You touch that $20, and then you say, brother, I'm going to pray for you that God gives you that $20. Let's pray. And the answer is right there in your pocket. I know. It's an extreme example, but that's one that y'all can relate to. Them $20. You know why? That's your last $20. So-called last. But you wind up with anyway. God has a way. He has a way of taking care of this. If you just let him use you in this way, and I got my hands in my pocket. Let me get my hands. I don't know why I did that, but, you know, and that's an extreme example, but there are so many other ways that God can use you to serve others. And listen, you don't have to see it. He'll show you. He'll send you to them if you listen. But if we're selfish enough, we'll hear it and say, not me. Devil, I rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, how are you going to rebuke God? He'll show you sometimes. You'll be waking up and you'll hear something. What? You hear it and say, I must be losing my mind. You're not losing your mind. Now, God is speaking to you. God speaks to us. The Bible says concerning the Holy Ghost that he will show you things to come. That's what the Holy Ghost does in our lives. He shows you things which are to come. And then he'll be showing us things to come, and we'll throw it back and say, you know, why am I thinking like this? I need to think about these beans and steak. How to get this done. No, you need to go and think about what you just heard. He will show you. He will direct you. Are y'all hearing this? Have you heard him say things to you in the past? Have you? And so have you acted on them? Don't answer. But start acting on them if you haven't. Just go check it out. You'll be amazed. You'll go and say something that God gave you to say to someone, and it'll be the craziest thing in the world to you. You're like, and I've done it. I say, well, Lord, okay. Makes no sense to me, but I'll say it. Sister, I don't know why I'm saying this, but, and I'll say it, she'll break down in tears. I'm like, what? If I was just asking him, or I needed that information, or it's just amazing. God knows what the needs are. He needs us to surrender to him and obey him and be the servants that we are called to be. 1 Thessalonians 1. 5 and 6 tells us, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Those who desire to be great in God's kingdom must be servants of all. You got to be ready to be a servant. Matthew 20, 25 through 28, Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's why he came. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That we're not here to be ministered to, but to minister and to give our life for many as well. I came across a great note in a commentary about Barnes, a note on the New Testament. It says that the highest honor that has been shown to the law of God on earth was that it was perfectly observed by him who made the law, that was the great mediator. God's law was so important to him that he came down and kept his own law. He made the law. Why should he have to keep it? But he showed respect for his own law by becoming a man and completely keeping and fulfilling his own law. If God humbled himself and subjected himself to his own law and his own expectation of the law, how much more should we? How much more should we, who are now made in the image of God by his Spirit, do the same and humble ourselves as well? We're not that high above him. He made himself a servant. Why should not we be made servants, make ourselves servants as well? The scripture tells us to give according as God has blessed us and as we so purpose in our hearts. If your heart tells you to give in a certain way, if it tells you to give a certain thing in offering, if it tells you to give a certain way to an individual, you might see a person's face and something pop in your head. Show up Sunday with whatever that is. Look for that person. You find wherever that person is. And if they don't come to church Sunday, carry around with you and be waiting for them. You see? Or call them and let them know. It's according as God has blessed you and as you purpose in your own heart. That's how we are to give. According to our heart. If God says give $20 and you got 50, don't give $50. Don't give 50. Give 20. He can multiply it. Are y'all listening here? This is the same Jesus we read about. He has all of this miraculous power, but we're gonna help God do his work on earth. You are really? Oh God, he needs your extra $30. He's trying to teach you obedience, and he's trying to teach us faith by causing us to trust and believe him through all of these issues. No, this church is not rich. We don't have a bunch of funds overflowing. We're going month to month, and we got a little left over. But hey, we got to keep on the stick. We got to keep giving as he purposed us to give, and we can keep going. If it cuts off, that means he's through. You know what that means? If it cuts off and the phone's cut off, you know what that means? That he stopped either telling us to give or we stopped obeying his voice. Okay, now. Either we stop listening or he's through with New Life. And his New Life doors are going to close. It's one or the other. I can't tell you. I'm here as long as the doors are open, as long as y'all will have me, I'm here. But if he's through, we will have to pack up and go. But if we're not listening to him, then that's disobedience. I ain't begging for money because I'm just saying, you know. So we have to listen to our hearts when it comes to giving. You serve by giving, and in our case, we also serve by receiving. Isn't that a different kind of way? And you do it either by giving or by receiving. Now, receiving is just about as hard as giving for some of us. In other words, if someone offers you something, you got to encourage them. You should encourage, you don't got to, but you should encourage them by accepting it rather than rejecting it. It's a very prideful thing to say, no, I don't need it. I don't know. I got it. You know that's pride. You should bless them by accepting it. Hey, it might be for you, or it might be for someone else, or it might be for something else down the road. God may be passing this through you because this person may never travel the same path that you travel. And I've done it. I've had things that I'm supposed to get one thing and I say get two. Okay. And I've had around with two. And I finally came up to a place where I was going and I said, oh yeah, that must be what this is for. I ran back in and I ain't telling you all the specifics, but I'm just telling you some of the highlights. Ran back and gave it to that particular person that second one was for. I knew where the first one was going, but I didn't know where the second was. I just knew that I should have two. And so I had two. And rode around with that thing in my car for the longest. Until one day, bang, there it was. And I went, here, this is for you. God bless you. Amen. Keep on going. In other words, if someone offers you something, be a blessing and accept it. The scripture says that it's better to give than to receive. If you reject my gift, then in a certain way you're hampering my blessing and giving. Say amen or oh my or something. But if you reject my gift, then you're in some way you're hampering my gift and giving. Don't do that. I'm trying to open us up so that we can feel free to express ourselves with one another and not think somebody's trying to rip us off. But we got some ulterior motive. Y'all don't have ulterior motive. Jesus Christ is our motive. And so we want to do it the way he does. And listen, the more you do something, the better you get at it. And I can tell you, I gave a brother something it took me about a year or two to get it to him. I've been had it for a year after the Lord spoke to him. I was so disobedient. And I finally gave it to him. He said, thank you, brother. You're very generous. I said, no, I'm not. Not really. It took me a long time to work that thing loose. But the more you do it, the better you get it. But see, all this stuff is going back into the earth anyway. It's going to burn up. So we're holding on to it. So let's be blessing. Let's serve one another. Let's practice serving one another so that when we go out, we can continue the practice of serving others. Be servants. Because that's what you are as a minister. You are a servant. We're talking about the life of servanthood. Now imagine with me, for a minute, what this fellowship would be like if we all spent our time trying to serve the other. Okay. Outserve the other because of our love for one another. Just imagine what this place would be like if we come in the door and, Sister Day, I got something for you. Come here. I want to serve you. I got a word for you. I got this for you. I picked this up for you. I thought of you, and here it is. And then Sister Yvette comes and says, Bill, look, here, take this. Bill goes, what is it? No, I don't know. Just take it. I got it for you. And just doing. Could you stand that? I could stand it. I would love it. We have to learn to serve one another. It's hard to say no. It's hard for me to say no. Generally, I stay broke, but that's okay because the Lord still provides. We're absolutely rich in our hearts. I could get used to it, and I would love it. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for the word today on the life of servanthood. It really was a word about you. The main and the grand servant of all, you, Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to get our minds right so that we can have the mind in us that was also in you. You came not to be served, but to be ministered to. But you came to minister. Give your life as a ransom for many. Teach us, Lord, how to minister in that way, how to serve with the mind of Christ. For your word says that we have the mind of Christ. So as we leave this place today, Lord, help us to remain fresh on this subject of the servanthood of the believer, of the life of servanthood. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.